Welcome to the Raw and Uncensored Ambitious Podcast. During our time here together, I will be instilling all of the strength, power, and determination you will need to use the very stones thrown at you to build your ultimate empire. We will redefine the word bitch from the derogatory to the acronym being in total control of herself. So let's adjust our crowns and prepare to live life ambitiously.
Oh, yeah, here I am, the original HBIC, Katie motherfucking Boyd. And on today's episode of the Ambitious Podcast, we have my soul sister and my business mentorship coaching client, Kathleen Acker Ramsey. Kathleen has spent a lifetime overcoming challenges and roadblocks while seeking the best path to building an impactful mindset. She has more than 30 years of legal experience in the corporate world, but is dedicated to reading, learning, and above all, being a spiritual seeker of truth and change. She speaks, coaches, and leads workshops designed to help people revolutionize their mindsets and change their lives by learning to question their core beliefs and discover their inner power for them to live, as we like to say here in Ambitious Land, their most ambitious life ever. This was an amazing conversation that I had with Kathleen. She is a gem, and we touch upon a lot of really intense conversations that are going to make your brain start to go, and maybe question certain things that you're doing on a daily basis, certain words that you're speaking, and how your thoughts, words, and deeds really truly shape the life that you're going to have. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast, The Game of Life 101 with Kathleen Acker Ramsey. Kathleen Acker Ramsey, my girl, I'm so excited for you to be on the Ambitious Podcast. It's been a long time coming, has it not?
It has been, yes.
I am just over the moon for people to get to be doused by all of your wisdom today, because when you talk, my mouth opens up and my tongue hangs out, because you are just a wise bitch and you truly are the epitome of what an ambitious woman is. So I am so excited and elated for you to be here on the Ambitious Podcast today. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's like an honor to be here. It really is. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. So let's just like get into the nitty gritty. So first of all of the listeners love to know how I actually meet the guests that I have on the Ambitious Podcast. So can we got to go back like what now? 3-4 years?
It's about 3 years. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
3 years. And it said we were going through something globally. And
yes, that little thing.
Yeah, that little thing. It was the beginning of it. And, you know, so for a couple months, I was like in this like slum, and I was like, God, this is not me. And I would try to pick up one of my motivational books, which I'm a big audio queen. I have like 1,000 books, and
yep, me too.
I couldn't get into them. So, and I talk about it, I think in chapter 5, how we met a little bit. Oh. But, I have a friend, Andrea, and so she had told me about somebody. And so I was like, okay, let me connect with her. And then I called her, we were talking, and I said, man, I need like a program that's just going to kick my ass, like that's going to do the food, that's going to do the workouts, that's going to make me walk, that's going to make me do my meditations, that, you know, get me into yoga. You know, I love yoga, but I hate it. You know, doing it, but I love it when I do it. And so, but somebody that's going to make me accountable, like, and not let me play small. And she was like, oh, I just joined this thing, Katie Boyd. And, you know, it's 28 days, but there's no liquor and there's no sugar. And I'm like, liquor's not the problem. The sugar might be.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So I, without hesitation, I looked you up and I mean, read through it. I don't even know if I was done reading through it when I paid. And I want people to know that that's important, because that's your inspiration talking. And there's different types of personalities. When opportunity's knocking, you know, that is your intuition. When you feel it radiating inside of you, you want to act on that. And I did. And it was truly a blessing for that, because remember I was like, I'm too old to go 3 days without food. And you were like, bitch.
I remember this. I remember calling Kim and being like, this fucking Kathleen chick is on another level. She's like bitching about this 72-hour fast at the end of 8 to 8 p. I'm like, I'm going to fuck her up with some beautiful truth. And I did. And you had obviously and still do have that kind of personality where you like a good ass kicking. I'm the same way. Like, I love when people just like lay it down to me and they won't let you, like you say, play small and get out of things. Because as soon as people sign up to do 8 to 8 p, like half of them is like, I need this. I know that this is what's going to change my life. But then there's that other half, which is like this, the devil, right? The low vibrational frequency energy that starts to plant those seeds of doubt in your mind that makes you like try to make excuses or pull out or whatever. And I knew that that's what you were doing. And I was like, I'm not fucking letting her do this. And almost 4 years later, you are not only so successful, but you've written a book. You are living your best life. You are a sovereign, autonomous, ambitious woman and such an inspiration to our bitcherhood community. So I'm just so glad that you let me kick your ass that day and you stayed the course, because I don't know where we would both be if we didn't have each other, because we've just come such a long way in our relationship with our mentorship and our friendship. We just came back from Portugal together, which was an absolutely incredible experience. And you get to bring your book to Europe and people were like buying it on the plane. And I just think it's just such an amazing, inspirational story. And I love when people talk about how we met, because it just shows like the growth and the evolution. And if people just put their feet down and say, fuck this, I'm doing it, you're a true testament to that. So thank you.
Well, and thank you. And truly that A28P, it's a mindset. And so I've done so much spiritual work leading up to that point. Like, and that's why I needed that bitch slap. And thank you forever for that. But it's because I do know, and like the whole food thing, like we get into this just habitual rhythm that is somebody else's rhythm, that society's rhythm that is not ours. And it's just this, our mind, to break that, you have to create a shift. And the A28P does that. It's also your relationship with food. It's your relationship with anything in life. And to know that, you know, drinking the water and adding the lemon, or like, you're like, really like, that's like a treat. Like, I get to add lemon now.
I know.
but you get more energy and more clarity when you go through the fast, and it's so much better for your body. And you have the videos that you share that, you know, can get people to help them into the mindset, this is good for me. And when you get done with it, you crave more of it. I did two back to back because I shifted my mindset, but I wanted to solidify that.
Yes.
And to go deeper with that. And that's what helped me to be here today.
So that's what I want to talk about, because there is like these breadcrumbs that in my mind, when I was thinking about doing this podcast with you, I was like, okay, I know she did A28P, and I obviously you did in Bitches Academy. You've been through like the whole gamut with this from day one. But what I want you to really instill into the listeners today, just in this portion of the podcast, is you did A28P because you're like, I have to get my shit together mentally, physically, emotionally, and I'm just not feeling inspired. I'm kind of in a slump. I'm in a rut. I'm kind of in this like circling the drain hypnotic rhythm. So the first 28 days that you did A28P, do you remember what you gained just from those first 28 days?
You know, it was total mindset. So it was just, it really helped me shift from the hypnotic rhythm that I was in into my own. And I needed that because we were all kind of doing that. That's what that gameplay was. And, you know, I was started watching Tell Lie Vision. And I was like, this is so not me. What is happening? Like, I'm binging Netflix. Yes. Oh my God, has the world ended? And then, but also, and I think it's important to know, when you do that, when you create these shifts, it's also health, because I had had an accident and I had it in my mindset because the doctor told me, you know, you're probably going to have a limp and you're not going to be able to walk. When I started my first set of A28P, I could not walk. I don't have a big block here, like a circle, and I couldn't walk two times. And you required us to walk 10,000 steps. And I was like, I am, you know, check. I have to check my boxes, you know. By 3 weeks, I was walking the 10,000 steps and there was not pain. And I got over the discomfort too. And to this day, you know, there's times weather or I'm eating bad and I can feel it in my foot, but we hiked that one day. I did 23,000 steps in Portugal.
I was actually going to say that. I was
no
like,
problem.
I remember us walking on the Levada in Madeira. And I know that you had that accident, and I had a bad foot injury a couple years ago too. And I just remember being on that mountain and being like, oh my God, I am so grateful that I can do this. Cause there was a point in time that I said, I would never be able to do this again. And I know that we had that conversation on the mountain where you're like, I never thought I would be able to do this. And I was like, wow, this is such a full circle moment. You and I that day together on that hike, because we both had injuries that we were like really didn't think that we were going to be able to come back from 100%. And we were kicking ass and taking names, and we got on that bus and we went and drank some poncha and we lived our best life for the rest of the day. And I'm really, really, really proud of us. So the 10,000 steps, all of that, the mindset shift. Do you remember what you released as far as weight on that first 28 days?
Oh, I know between the two, I lost 25 pounds.
That's awesome. So how many people can say within, you know, 8 weeks, I could lose almost 30 pounds? And you were never, and I'm going to like use my quotation fingers for the people that are watching. You were never fat. You just probably were just inflamed, and you were just holding water weight from stress and inflammation and, you know, eating not things that were causing inflammation and stuff. So to be able to say, I shifted my mindset, I healed from an injury, and I also released 25 pounds within, you know, two rounds of A28P, which, by the way, guys, if you didn't know, on the Ambitious app, A28P is part of the Ambitious app. So you can do A28P as many times as you want if you are part of the app, which is so cool, because I used to sell it every month, like one off, one off, one off. So you spent a lot of money just to do those two rounds of A28P, but it was worth it. I'm sure you can say, and I will say this too, it's worth every penny to invest in yourself in that way.
Well, it's about investing in yourself. And I think that people need to know that, because we go spend money on coffee and drinks and food and everything like that. And then, you know, people will be like, well, you know, I don't know if I can afford a book, or I don't know if I can afford a coach or something like that. And it's like, how can you not invest in you? Because changing your mindset and investing in yourself is the most, in, you know, that's your biggest investment. If you're going to put money in your 401k, take some of that out and get a coach and, you know, get some inspiration and take these courses. I've been taking courses from like Tony Robbins, and I met Zig Ziglar several times. And, you know, I go and meet the people. Like, I remember my friend was like, you like actually know Katie Boyd? And I'm like, well, yeah, I've been to her house,
girl.
You know, because if I'm going to work with somebody, you know, you get to know them. And
absolutely.
It's that shift where you think someone is not on a pedestal. Like, you know, for you to level up, you know, you want to be able to, we're all equal, and people don't get that. We're equal.
Absolutely.
And it's, you want to have somebody that's ahead of you.
And
always.
We also flew first class together home. From Portugal. I was like, this is a fucking awesome moment. We're both on first class, sitting next to each other in the first class lounge, living our best lives, even though that day we were both exhausted and not feeling our freshest, but we did it. And we were in a first class, and I was like, this is so fucking cool that I get to share this moment with her. Really awesome. So from A28P, you did all of my other programs. So you did Ambitious Academy, you have come to Bitchapalooza, you've done my business mentorship. And from all of those experiences, would you say that from those experiences and then all of the work that you've done with your mindset and your spirituality and your energy from even before you met me, kind of all came together in this like perfect package so that you were to write a book that is going to catalyze the awakening of millions of people all across the globe? Like, do you think that it was just this big culmination of all the work that you've done over the years?
It was all the, because I've been, you know, I'm not young. And so
yes,
I've been doing.
You're a hot dude. I partied with you in Portugal. You're younger than most of the young girls that were there. Let me just say that out loud.
Well, my mind is definitely young, but by age, you know, it is a mindset. You know, I can't believe, like, I don't even say my real age, because I'm like, I'm really not that.
What's the point?
But But so to your point is I had told you, I had shared my in second grade, I wanted to write a book. And I've literally put it in every journal throughout time that I'm going to be an author. I'm going to be an author. But what having a coach, you are my coach. And so what that did is I told you and you were like, okay, here's an editor, you know? And it was like, oh shit, I have to do this now. And so it just, that's what having a coach, that's what having somebody that's done it. You're an author. You're a millionaire. You've done it. And I'm like, that's what I inspire to be. So that means I have to start like, shut up or, you know, put up or shut up.
That's right.
And so you did that. And so that's what started it went from walking through the bookstores and saying, no, I want to be an author to visualizing what will my cover look like? Where will my book be? And visualizing that and imagining it. And then what will it be like to be signing books and all of that? And then, so now it's comfortable. Like now I'm writing it and they're like, is this surreal? And I'm like, well, I've been like literally visualizing this for years now.
Yes.
So it, yeah.
I think to your point, it is so important to have a coach that's done already what you desire to do. Now, mind you, Ambitious and The Game of Life 101 are very different books, each equally much needed on this earth right now. But I think that is really about, I always say, like, stand on the shoulders of giants, right? And I could help people go from 0 to 100 a hell of a lot quicker than you personally all by yourself going through, how do I write a book? What do I need to do? Who's an author? I need a person that formats it. I need a person that prints it. I need ISBN numbers. I need et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where I can just be like, okay, this is what the book's about. We're going to make an outline. We're going to make sure that you have a person to write your foreword, that you get testimonials. This is the person who's going to do your cover. This is the person who's going to format it. This is the font. This is the, like, we really did went through everything. And I remember you had sent me, after one of our one-on-ones, you had sent me like the kind of like the draft of the book, and I read the whole entire thing and I was just like blown away because I was just like, oh my God, this is exactly, and it wasn't edited yet, it wasn't finished, but I was like, this is exactly what I've been dreaming about for her. And it probably, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm going to pat myself on the back as a coach, because it probably would have taken you 3 years or more. Or maybe you would never write a book if you didn't have someone else as like the person that you're like, if Katie can do it, I can do it. I just need her knowledge. And why wouldn't I give you the knowledge that I've gained? Because everything I did when I was writing my book, I had to learn it like the fucking hard way. Remember, I lost my whole entire manuscript and I had to start from scratch. It was hell. Then I had to find an editor. And then I had to a team to like load the things on Amazon and do this and do the pre-sale and all the things. But no one tells you these things. And then you waste time researching and watching YouTube videos and reading blogs and all this shit when it's like, why wouldn't I just, as your coach, put this on a perfect silver platter? Because I'm the kind of person where it's like, I believe that everyone has a book inside them. I really, truly do. And who are you not to write a book? And I said that to you from day one. I'm like, Kathleen, you have so much wisdom to impart to the world. Who are you not to write this book? Because I know at first you were like, it's scary. It's not easy to put yourself out there and be judged. And I'm not a writer. I didn't go to school for, you know, writing, right? So I was like, I don't even know when I use a period, when I use a comma, when I use a semicolon, when I use a like, I don't know any of this shit. But like my grandmother always said, there's a seat for every ass, Katie. And then I found Shirley Jump, who literally, if it wasn't for her, I would have never been able to write this book. And if I did, it would have taken me about a decade to do it. I mean, I would have probably been on a wheelchair with like a tight perm with white hair on the cover of my book by the time I actually wrote it. And then she put me in touch with all the right people. And then I have that team that I can share with the people that I coach to also help write their books. So you're my third book that I've helped write and inspired to write in my business coaching mentorship. So I am just like so freaking proud of you. You have no idea, because it takes a lot of balls, a lot of cojones to do what you just did. And believe me, I know, because I've done it and it sucked. So there was days where I was like, what the fuck? Was there ever days where you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I smoking crack? What is wrong with me? Why am I doing this to myself?
Well, yeah. And I don't think people understand that. It's not like the movies where, you know, oh, you'll get $1 million and go write your book. And oh, I'm having writer's block. I think I'll take a vacation. You know,
I wish.
Yep. But having somebody like you, like, so you put it in my lap. And so you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make the horse drink. So you put me in touch with Shirley. And I got to tell you, we had to work through that because I'm like, okay, here's my throw up, like spaghetti all over the floor.
Yes. You
help clean up. So we had to figure out how to communicate because I am like, whoo. And she helped to like, you know, okay, you know, do this or that. And just giving me the direction and asking questions that helped me.
Yes.
So, and then marketing, because I'm self-publishing and everything. And there's, you know, I'd hope to release it in October of 22 and then in December and then in January and now it's May. And so it is officially out. And then even then I uploaded it wrong on Kindle. And, you know, it's a learning process, but it shows you that you can do it. And so like the next thing is like speaking engagements. You speak and it's like, because you've said that to me, like, oh, have you thought about it? Shirley said, are you going to do speaking engagements? And I'm like, yeah. Yes, I am. And so when anybody thinks, well, who am I or who are you to do this? I have so much, like, just like you, you learn it, you've experienced it. And I sometimes think that I, especially in my hometown, I am so like, I downplay myself so much because I can't have conversations with them, with a lot of people that like you and I have and some other people. There's times when you meet someone and you can go into these deep, deep conversations.
Those are my
and
favorite.
That's not belittling anyone. It's just saying, you know, there's different things, but I have been on a journey for a long time, as you know, like you would say a book when we would have our weekly calls and stuff like that, you would say a book and I'd be like, oh, I got it. Oh, I got it. Oh, I got it. Yeah. I've read it like in like The Game of Life by Florence. Yes. I mean, it doesn't even have a cover on it. I've read it so many times.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's so freaking crazy. So speaking of your book, because I want people to get a little taste, a little sample of what this book is about. So obviously, as I said before in the intro and in this podcast, it's called The Game of Life 101. Show us your book. It's gorgeous. I'm so proud of you. I'm like tearing up just looking at it, even though I've seen it before, but it just like is so... It's so surreal to actually see this real physical thing that you birthed. It is like having a baby. It's so painful, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot longer.
It's so true. It's so true. So when you wrote this book and when you were in the midst of writing this book, what are some of the things that you're like, this book has to convey these points so that it helps catalyze the awakening of people from all over the globe? So can you just like give me some of like your most favorite kind of points? And I love also, because you're a wordsmith, I love like all the play on words. I'm a wordsmith too, but you're like way ahead of me when it comes to like wordsmithing. You are. I'm just going to give it to you. You are. I try my best, but sometimes, you know, because I have been indoctrinated to say certain things, I just say them and I'm like, fuck. Every time I'm in the morning, I text Kim, good morning, queen. And I'm like, fuck. I like backspace it. I backspace it because I think about you, because I'm like, oh my God, I can't say good morning. That's not good. We can get into that in a second. But let's just talk about some of the key points that you really wanted to hone in on The Game of Life 101.
So word trickery is it. So there's been society. I think like when you're playing a game, you have, you know, you're always, you have an opponent, somebody that's against you. So I call it society. People can call it anything. I wanted to make it like a game. So it's fun. So society is doing their job to make us level up, to make us wake up. And people are like, oh, I'm awake. And okay. So whatever you want to label it, and people put labels on stuff. And so that word trickery. So instead of morning, it doesn't. So first there was the word, and the word is. And so, and I'm not going to sit here and quote Bible verses, but yes, because I'm not the person that,
you know, I love
that.
A good Bible verse. I love, yeah, to butcher the Bible, girl. You know, I do.
Yeah. And butcher it. But because I know it inside of me.
Yes.
More than I can quote it ever. But since second grade, I went home and I told my dad, you know, my science teacher said I'm vibration. I'm an electromagnetic field. And she's crazy, right? And he was like, that's when I started getting into quantum physics, second grade. We didn't have the internet back then, or we couldn't Google it.
Your story is so similar to mine. That's when I started getting into quantum physics, too, because I was like, there's just more to this than meets the eye, in my opinion. But I didn't know how to articulate it. And I wasn't surrounded by anyone that could also articulate what that meant, you know, quantum physics, what that even meant. But it is vibration. And when people don't think that you are a vibrational being, it blows my mind, Kath.
Yeah. And I've even said it to people who are in the medical field, like, you know, well, our electromagnetic field, which is scientifically proven that we have an electromagnetic field around us, you know, and heart math and different sciences have electrocardiogram, right? And so with I've had people in the medical field say, we're not electromagnetic fields. You're just, you know, you're reading that new age stuff. And I'm like, it's not new age.
No. So when you say word trickery, can you explain what word trickery is for all of my ambitious listeners? Because not everyone is familiar with word trickery like you and I are.
So word trickery is the vibration of the word. And so words and sounds and lights can either lower your vibration or increase your vibration, your electromagnetic field. And so it does not matter about the spelling. So many people would always get caught up on spelling. It's the vibrational sound of the word. So mourn, to mourn the day. Do you mourn the day? I do not mourn the day. So I say good day. So, and I will tell you that when I write good day in my emails, when I say good day, people like look, and then it brightens them, that smiles them. People think my emails are friendlier, and it can be the same email that I would have written, but I said good day, and then I end it in a joyful way, like have a joyful day or something like that, to set that vibration in the beginning and the end. Yes. And so that's how it's like, I go over some word trickery, like, in my book. And then if you go to my website, I have a word trickery PDF that you can download.
It's awesome. And, because back to the word trickery point, when we're little kids, right, we're taught to say like, good morning, right? What does your teacher come in every day and goes, good morning, class? And you go, good morning, Mrs. So-and-so. But when you say the words good morning, what you're saying is the vibrational frequency is like, I am mourning this day. I'm not excited for this day. I am not joyful for this day. And it creates a vibrational frequency around your auric field. And then you're like, why does my life suck? Why does everything go wrong for me? Why am I always melancholy? Why do I have anxiety? Because the words you say, the things that you, that's why it's like, be careful what you, in the Bible, it says thought, word, and deed create reality, right? So that means like, even when you're saying things like good morning, even though we're indoctrinated as children to say that, well, that's the polite thing to say, it actually isn't. So choose something different. And you know, what just came to me when we're talking about this. Remember in Portugal, every day I would say to you guys, okay, when it's morning time, you guys go, you say bom dia. And when it's afternoon, you say boa tarde. And then the nighttime, you say boa noite. We never say good morning in Portugal. We say good day. Bom dia means good day. I never even put those two things together. And let me tell you, as you know, because you were there with me, the Portuguese people are really happy people.
It is so pleasant and so calm, and just it's a different vibration on the island. I mean, I had no foot problems whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It just, you feel better.
Yep, absolutely.
There's no things in the sky either. But so to
there isn't. Oh yeah, my God. We could get it. We could do a whole other podcast about this shit, but no, you just
I'm not labeling
you it. You sparked my mind. Are there other words that we use on a daily basis that are like, oh my God, stop doing that?
Yeah, so there are, but just let's go with mourning. So yeah. You mourn the day. So, and then you work during the week. So think of week, W-E-A-K, because it weakens you. So you're working to weaken you for the weekend so that you're weakened on the end of it. And so there's so much, but it's like people could be like, oh, that doesn't mean that, or that's not what it means to me. It doesn't matter what it means to you. It's a vibrational frequency. And so in my book, and you know, it's Dr. Amato, Japanese guy,
yes.
Doctor who did a study, and he wrote words on water bottles, froze them, and then looked at them under a microscope, and we're 70% water. So when you have hate and anger and mourning, and because it's mourning, because we're dead, and there's a whole like another episode
offshoot
that we could do.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And we are zombies living in the dead world, and how do you walk on water? And that's what I'm going to teach people, is how to walk on water eventually.
Yes, yes.
And that's where I'm going to, is how do you walk on water? What is that? It's a metaphor.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
But we won't go into that. So, my point being is, so the vibrational so weak is there. And so Dr. Amato's study showed that fear and anger had sharp, jagged edges, where love and peace and, you know, beauty had soft, beautiful edges, and we're 70% water. And so when your body has jagged edges, and you know, when you feel anger, you feel it throughout your entire body, your cells feel it, because it's, your cells are water. So they're liquid. And so they're feeling that. And that's what causes dis-ease.
Yes.
And
yes.
So disease is it's your alignment, your spirit and your body, mind, and soul are not aligned. And so when you start saying different words like good day, it just sounds better. It just lifts you.
Yes.
It lifts your vibration in you.
Right. I love the Dr. Amato. I studied this a long time ago when I was going for my sound healing certifications years and years and years ago, because obviously sound is vibration and it's very healing, and different sounds actually can make you sick. During World War II, the Nazis actually used sound, low vibrational noise, to just drive people absolutely insane. We could get into that in the same podcast we talk about walking on water, because I think that there needs to be a second episode to this podcast. But I loved the study that you're talking about, where he had water frozen and he showed the actual crystals after they were frozen. And what they did was they taped like words like love and fear and hate and beauty on the outside of these water bottles. He did a lot of different studies. If you guys have a chance, go over to his website and just Google him, and you'll be like blown away. But then when they showed the frozen parts of water that had the love and the beauty and all those things labeled on it, they were the most beautiful ice crystal formations that you've ever seen. Like the most perfect, gorgeous snowflakes in the world. And then when you saw the ones that were the low vibrational frequency words, frozen water, it looked like a horror show. It looked like a cell with a virus. That's what it reminded me of,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think that the biggest thing with this is the words that you speak are so important. So choose your words wisely, and also know, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, hey, I don't have time for this, but it's so important, is to know the etymology of words. I was actually listening to someone speak about etymology of words yesterday. And you know how people say like knock on wood, or they'll knock wood, right? They're like, oh, knock on wood, knock on wood. Actually, what knock on wood is when pagans were living thousands of years ago in the forest, and they wanted to talk to the dark, lower vibrational frequency. Yeah, when they wanted to talk to like the Satan, because, you know, they had satanic type of gods in their, what they believed in. They believed in good gods, and they believed in also dark, you know, underworld type gods. When they would knock on wood, it would be knocking on the trees to summon the demons to have these like conversations with the dark forces. And so when people say knock wood, I'm like, don't fucking say that. And they're like, what's the big deal? Everyone says it. And I think that that's what makes me the most angry, is like, no one even knows what the fuck that they're saying. They're just saying shit because they've heard their parents, their family of origin, generations, teachers, caregivers just say these things, and they don't even know why they're saying the words that they're saying, like the words good morning or weekend. You remember that song from Loverboy back in the day? I'm really dating myself right now. But remember that song, everybody's working for the weekend. And all my friends, when I was like younger, they used to love that song. And I'd be like, this song fucking sucks, guys. Like, are we really that much of losers that our whole lives we just work and work and work all week just to have a weekend just to get drunk and fucked up and just like blow off steam because we're so like depressed because we hate our lives because we're not living in our purpose? And everyone's like, you're so serious. You take this shit so serious. It's just a song. And I'm like, it's not just a fucking song.
Society has been programming us for a long, long time. And so my whole book is about redefining your beliefs. And in the word belief is the word lie. So it's a lie. And so everybody's like, well, I saw it on TV. Well, I saw Santa on TV too. So what? And that doesn't make it real. Okay. And so we're so used to believing a lie that we will fight to the end to protect that lie. When we didn't question, did we find it on television? And who was the maker of that television? My dad died 33 years ago. And he used to say, don't watch television. News is just paid actors. And so you always want to know who's writing the script.
Absolutely.
And that is exactly the truth, because who's gaining from you being a low vibration? Who's gaining from you not thinking above and beyond? And so you want to question whether it's war or my, I have this argument or not discussions with my sons and they're like, Mom, no. And because I get people to think outside the box and I get them to question their core beliefs. And that's what my book is about. Is questioning those core beliefs. Why do you think that it's true? And if it isn't, what does it mean? Does it mean anything?
Yes.
So what if the World Trade Centers was, you know, not what you think it was? What if it was bombs going off, you know, because it went boom, 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 boom. Okay. Yes. What if, would it change your life? Does it really affect your life?
Yes.
And questioning that and being okay with it. But what you, to what you were saying is in my book, I talk about songs, creating your own movie and creating yes. your own song. And when I was doing that, I was calling a friend of mine and we were going over songs because I was one of those nerds that I didn't download music because there was something with music that I was like, no, I was downloading books. So I was calling her because she's into music and everything. And I would start listening to, you know, the verses that you repeat over and over. And I'm like, oh my God, we're summoning the dark. We're summoning evil. And we didn't even know it because they're so catchy and fun. And yes. you're like, oh, that's not what I was doing. That's a fun song. I love that song, Kathy. Don't ruin that for me. And yes. I'm like, I'm not ruining anything. It's just becoming aware so that now you can know, like, not consent, to say I don't consent or cancel yes. clear, which I talk about in my book. But a lot of songs, when you start listening to them, you're like, oh my God. So just knock on wood, it doesn't surprise me. I'm glad I know that.
Is that cool though? Like we just say these things. I remember I used to go to this gym and it was like a real like bodybuilder, dungeony type of like dude powerlifter gym, and I loved it, but they would only play like hardcore, like that screamo music, like that music. And sometimes I would forget my headphones because I would listen to like more like fun pop kind of like music, girly music or whatever. And I remember a couple times that I forgot my headphones and I was like, oh fuck it, they have music, I'll just listen to the music and I'll just work out. And you probably don't know the song, but there was a song, it was like a hardcore song. It was like, let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. I don't know if you remember the song, but, and I remember like lifting and singing this song. And I like got into my car and I drove home and I swear to God, like, I don't even remember like driving home. I was like, it was almost like, I know this sounds crazy, but I can talk to you about it. It was like Satan came into my body and like took it for a fucking ride, a joyride. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God, what am I singing? I'm talking about people like jumping off of buildings and like committing suicide. And this is what I'm lifting weights to. And as you know, because we talk about that all this time, your physical body wires together with music and sound. So if you're lifting weights, you're creating a neural network connection in your brain. And now all of a sudden, now every time you lift weights, you start to feel that rage, that anger, right? Or, you know, if you've gone through a really bad breakup and you were listening to some like really sad song or some aggressive song like over and over and over again, and then you hear that song, doesn't it take you back to the same fucking day that you had that like visceral emotional reaction?
Yeah, it's a trigger.
It is a trigger and we don't even know. And that's why it's so important to trigger yourself in good ways, right? To say words like good day instead of good morning.
Yeah.
Or I love, we always talk about like the lies that were given to us as children, like Santa Claus, right? And if you know anything about Santa Claus, it all has to do with a shamanic experience in Russia that the reindeer used to eat these mushrooms that were the same color as Santa Claus's outfit, and how the shamans couldn't come and do their shamanic work in Siberia because it was, Joe Rogan actually just talked about this on his podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. And he was saying how it was so bad, the snow, and people would need exorcisms and all this like spiritual work. And the shaman couldn't get through the door because the snow was so high in front of these people's doors. So how would he go into their house? He would go down the fucking chimney, the shaman. So
really?
So like all people are like, Santa Claus is when Jesus was born, even though Jesus was not born on December 25th. He's actually an Aries. If you know anything about astrology and astronomy and where the stars were in the sky and all this shit, we need to do another podcast just about this shit. Because I'm like, I love this kind of stuff. But we think like Santa Claus is associated with Jesus, but all this shit is all fucking paganism. A Yule log, a wreath on your door, a Christmas tree. It's all pagan. So all these Christians come to me and they're like, you need to find Jesus. And I'm like, no one loves baby Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt more than Katie motherfucking Boyd. But I also am very awakened to the lies that we've been told and indoctrinated to think about all these things. And we've just accepted them as like the word of God or law. It's bullshit. And thank God for people like you who are actually speaking truth and know that you're going to get shit for it and are still like, fuck it. I know I'm going to get probably a lot of people are going to come to me and be like, how dare you write about this? And how do you say that? Because it happens to me all the time. People are like, what are you talking about? Like, this is blasphemous. I just had a podcast come out this week about how to use your dark feminine energy. And someone wrote on my YouTube video, like, you need to find Jesus and you need all this shit. And I'm just like, who is the dark feminine energy in Jesus's life? Mary fucking Magdalene. Go read a goddamn book, people. Like, wake the fuck up. But I think that more people need to talk about this and more people need to learn about this because, like you said, they're believing the lies that they've been told and they think it's the truth. And these people live their whole lives not even knowing the truth about anything. Their whole fucking existence is a lie.
They don't question anything. So my dad, since I was a little girl, was always like, question, you know, whose authority? Your authority is your equal. And so when you get into that mindset that everyone is your equal, and just because someone holds a title of CEO, CFO, CW, whatever, it doesn't even freaking matter. Author, movie star or whatever, they're your equal. And what that means is they're playing an acting role, a fictitious title. Every title is such a fictitious role. And so my dad would say, question authority, question everybody. I got kicked out of Sunday school because I questioned the teacher and I was sitting outside crying and my dad came up and he said, why are you sitting out here? And I said, well, this is what I said. And he said, well, you're right. And he went in, talked to the teacher, and he said, well, you're done. You've graduated. I go, how did I graduate? And he goes, because you know more than the teacher.
Yep.
And he always said, you know, don't get in. And I'm really going to get in trouble for this. There's so many people in Bible studies. And Bible study, I'm not saying is a bad thing. Right. But why are you having someone else tell you what a verse means? It's a living Bible. And so a living Bible means that what does it mean at your vibrational level? What message is it sending to you right now? Because in a year, you can read that same verse and it can have a different, and I don't mean a completely different meaning, but you understand it differently. And understanding is what that Bible is about. And I was at a meeting. There was some doctors and some people talking and everything. And I had been talking to this man. He was like, oh, you got to meet my wife. And so she comes up and she starts telling me something and I tell her a little bit about my book and I mentioned like heart, you know, it's heart focused breathing and stuff. And she's like, oh, you're a new ager. And, you know, you're born in, your heart is evil and you die with an evil heart. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know? Don't be projecting your stuff on me. And everybody needs to understand, don't project your lies, your beliefs, life. Unto me. And so I swear to God, I do swear to God, that an angel comes up, this man who I don't know, and he starts talking to her and they start quoting Bible verses and he is like, boom, boom, boom on the heart, you know? And then she like disappears. I don't even know where she goes. I have this amazing conversation with him about the Bible and you know, he can quote it. I can't, but I have the understanding of the verses that we're talking about and we share back and forth and then he disappears. And I'm like, it was divine.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I want to catch you for a second because you keep saying the word understand. Now, obviously that's how we speak. And that's how you talk to me when we talk all the time, you know, on our one-on-ones and whenever we see each other. But talk about when you say understand. Can you explain why you say the words understand instead of understand to people? That's another word trickery.
It is a word trickery. So when When you say you understand, it means that you consent. You are giving consent to stand under another and give them authority over you. And I don't give anyone, I might say that I understand, but I like to use the word comprehend. I comprehend what you're saying.
Yes.
But to understand means inside of me, this is my inner standing, my wisdom, my truth. I'm speaking my truth. I come from my authenticity, if I can say the word, is to understand something, but I don't stand under. So if a cop or a judge says, do you understand? They say that on purpose. And we can go into another podcast on that, but that means you're consenting to stand under them. So if a judge or a cop says, do you understand? No, I don't. I do not stand under you. You're my equal. And you know, if you're going to continue to play your fictitious role, I'm actually above you. So there is that.
So what would you say? What would you say to the judge or the cop instead? You could say, I comprehend.
I comprehend, but I do not stand under you.
Wow. See, this is so, oh God, this is like, I love having these conversations because they just make my mind just open and explode. And that's the reason, obviously, why I wanted so badly to have you on this podcast, but also to help catalyze women just to wake up about just the vibrational frequencies that they're living in. Because as you know, and I'm sure you were there and I've been there before too, it's like everything in your life is just falling apart. It's going wrong. You just don't understand why it's happening this way. You don't comprehend why it's happening this way. And it's truly all about the vibrational frequency that you're giving off with one, the words that you speak, and then two, the thoughts that you think, which are just as important and just as powerful. And last but not least, the deeds that you do, right? So like, what are you doing every day on a daily basis to help you live this game of life and win the game of life? Because that's what I think, and I think that you will be on the same page with me, is I really think that life is all about remembering all the things that you've already known and helping you just to go to the next level with your mission and purpose, why you're here. And for me, it's to help women be ambitious. And for you, it's teaching them this vibrational frequency and all these different things that you're teaching. And God, I know that you're going to help so many people with this. Or is there anything else that is just like coming to mind that you think that you can like instill in people before we wrap up today? Because I know that people are at home and they're drooling because they're like, I want more of this.
I do think that my book is, it's designed and its purpose, its definitive purpose is to help people question their core beliefs and start to step into the hero inside of them, their true power. And we all have that. So it's just a stepping stone. And in it is, as you know, you do this in your book as well. I call it a game plan. And so to start your day with a game plan, end your day with a game plan. And that what that is it's setting your intentions for the day and going through some kind of routine. And how much time, like, so someone's like, you know, you have a routine, whether it's hitting that snooze a million times or not, and then running late for work and grabbing your coffee and yelling at your kids to get in the car because everything, that is someone else's hypnotic rhythm of society. And it needs, I suggest you break that chain and start your own. And if that means getting up an hour earlier and going to bed an hour earlier, then you do that. But starting your day with intentions, because that's what successful people do. That's what athletes do. It's proven. There's studies on it. And so I go through a game plan. If someone doesn't want to do every step, that's, you know, it's your game plan, not mine. This is my game plan. I tell you. Right. And you know, when you're starting it out, if it's 3 minutes for this and 4 minutes for that, you know, as long as you're doing it, because then you're going to start feeling good. You're going to start noticing a difference. You're going to want 10, 20, 30 minutes for this and that.
Yes.
So starting and ending your day with intentions. And when you end your day, because, you know, life gets busy and I don't always do it at night. But on the nights when I set my intentions for my evening, messages for me to come to, I wake up with inspiration. I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm journaling away. Yes. And I have a lot more guidance throughout the day.
Absolutely. And that's another thing too. You just hit such a great point. It's like, we've also been indoctrinated to say like, I'm a busy mom. I'm always late. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to do breath work. I don't have time to police the words that are coming out of my mouth and the thoughts that I think and how I'm showing up with my children or how I'm showing up with my family or work or whatever. And it's just, I guess because I've been doing this work for so long that sometimes I take it for granted because I just, I'm in the everyone is in hypnotic rhythm. It just depends on if you're in a good hypnotic rhythm or a low vibrational frequency hypnotic rhythm, right? And when you're intentional with your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, you're intentional with how you're showing up in your life every day, it's a universal law that only good things can come back to you. So if your life is like a baby diaper full of poo-poo, it's because you are putting out that vibrational frequency into the ethers. And when it, and you know what? To call it new age makes me laugh, especially with people who are Christian that are like, that's new age, that's like the devil and all this stuff. It's like, what do you think Jesus was doing when he was walking this earth? Do you think he was smoking Marlboro Lights and going to the strip club and being like, I don't give a fuck? No, he was like intentional with every thought, word, and deed that he did. And that is why he could heal people, because his bright light actually penetrated people to believe that they could heal from whatever they were going through, right? And yeah. As you know, Jesus wasn't hanging out with a bunch of all enlightened beings. I mean, most of the people that were surrounding him were not so fresh characters, but they all had a play within that life that Jesus was living. And like you said, a lot of the Bible is very metaphorical and it's energetically driven. And I have read the Bible a million times and I know a lot of verses in there that I could think of 10 years ago that would not make me feel the way that they make me feel today. And you just, that really hit a chord in me when you said that.
Yeah. And it is, it's what you feed your thoughts. And the Bible talks about that. It's what are you feeding your thoughts? I was in a meeting yesterday and I was like, you know, I mean, I listen to motivational, I have audio, the, you know, for books. And, you know, I think I listened to 117 last year or something.
Yeah.
Some of them more than once. So when I'm walking, when I'm watering my plants, when I'm just, you know, driving, I'm listening to something to inspire me, because what am I feeding my thoughts? Because your thoughts create your emotion, your energy in motion is your emotion. And then that triggers your action. And so you want to fine tune your actions and you want to control your emotions. What are you feeding your thoughts? And so it's like a guitar. And I talk about that in my book. It's like, if you think of a guitar, a string is just there. Are you just going to let it like be a string, or are you going to start controlling that string and have the nodes on each end? So your energy in motion for your actions, are you going to tighten that and fine tune it and start, you know, doing that? So
and create your book, beautiful my music. Book, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Oh my God. This is so good. We could have like the craziest tangent podcast. And I know a lot of people will call us conspiracy theorists, and that's fine. I don't
care. Means we tell the truth.
Damn right, girl. And listen, that ain't the worst thing that I've ever been called in my life, Kathleen, if you know what I'm saying. So
me
so
either.
Bring it on. But I think that what you've done is just so freaking incredible. Not only have you showed people today in this podcast, like where you were at, what putting in the work can actually do for your life. And now to be an author and be able to go out there and help catalyze the awakening of people from all across the globe. Like you should just be so freaking proud of yourself. I know I am so over the moon proud of you and I hope that you're proud of yourself.
Well, thank you. And I want to say, but like, I do have you as a coach and it's surrounding yourself with people. And cause like, you want to say who's the five people that you spend the most time with, because that's a reflection of how you're going to act and think. And so like, I want to thank you 100-fold because you helped a second grader make their dream come true.
That makes me so happy. Listen, you had it in you. God placed that on your heart back then. And all I did was I came in and I just gave you the tools. But remember, as I always say in Bitches, you have to actually use the tools to do the work, and you have to use the proper tools for the proper job to make the thing happen, right? And you did all those things. And that's why, you know, when people come to me, they're like, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. Like, I always think about people like you and I'm like, Kathleen does not have it easy. You know, she is working full time. She has two children. She's, you know, doing all these different things. You came from a lot of, you know, adversity in your childhood and in your adulthood. And, you know, it's just like, and that's why I want to be too to people. It's like, I want to show people, like, if I can do it, you can do it too. And you are the poster child for that. So thank you. And I know that the ladies out there in a bitches land are just going to eat this up. And even if they don't understand everything that we talked about today, I think it's just going to start planting those seeds in their mind to start like thinking about the words that they say and like how they're showing up and the intention behind everything that they do. And just to slow down and really, really think about how you desire your life to be, because as you know, you're the author of your life's book.
Yeah.
Right? Where can people find your book? Because I know that everyone's going to be raring to get this thing in their hands.
Okay. And before I tell you where to find my book, when people say it's hard, so it is, because you just told yourself that. You just casted a spell. It's called spelling for a reason. Hello. So you just casted the spell and your brain thinks it's hard and therefore I can't do it. So just change that to it's a challenge, because a challenge I can overcome. My brain is like, oh, it's a challenge.
And challenges can be fun. And challenges, yeah, can be actually rewarding and fun.
Exactly.
So true.
So where you can find my book is www.thegameoflife101.com.
Yes. And this will all be in the show notes too, guys.
And on Amazon, if you put The Game of Life by Kathleen, and you can put Acker Ramsey, but by Kathleen, it should pull it up. This is what it looks like. So when you see this, it's on Kindle for 99 cents. So you can buy the paperback. It's awesome. Nice. I got pictures. Like, I don't know. I love the pictures because it's just the subliminal message that
I didn't put pictures in my book because it was extra money. So kudos to you, because I know how expensive it is to put pictures in the book. So God bless you.
I took some out, but
they get expensive. It gets crazy. And that's another thing too, is like people, like they don't even realize like all the ins and outs of like writing a book, like how extensive it is. And these little nuanced things like putting pictures in your books or having color pictures in your books are really expensive, you know? But I know that you really wanted to have those things in your books to help people visualize and think outside the box and to really challenge their mind. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
All of this will be in the show notes, guys. Kathleen, thank you so much for being here, taking time out of your busy life to help inspire and educate and motivate and do what you do best. And I appreciate you from the bottom of my little black heart. You know that.
Thank you. I really appreciate you.
This was such an amazing. This was just like so joyful for me to talk to you today, because you teach me so much, you know, and I always want to learn. You guys, you have to get Kathleen's book. It will change your life. It will make you think outside the box, and it will help you remember that life truly is a game. So are you going to be a winner, or are you going to be, as we say in Boston, a loser? In the meantime, don't forget to stay ambitious, and I will see you next Tuesday.